This is Ozarks at Large. Jake Herzog plays guitar, all kinds of guitar. He has fronted a jazz rock trio that headlined the legendary Blue Note in New York City. He co-leads the rock band The Young Presidents, and he served as music director and lead guitarist for Nat and Alex Wolff's band and toured the country with that band. He also records solo projects. His most recent CD is titled Well-Lit Shadow. And last year, he moved to Northwest Arkansas and has joined the music faculty at the University of Arkansas. On March 30th, a Thursday, his new trio, including Chris Teal drums and Drew Packard bass, will play a free concert for the University of Arkansas Honors College in the Honors College Lounge. It's a free concert that's open to the public. I mentioned the concert is free, but RSVPs are suggested since the room is an intimate setting. Though the concert on the 30th will be with a trio, Jake came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio last night to play solo and to talk about his music. And when he set up in the Furman Garner Performance Studio last night, he had half a dozen pedals below him. I asked him to give me a tour of his tech.
Well, this is a pretty small set of pedals for me that just have to do with some of the solo music that I've been playing recently. But this, mostly in the delay category of life, has a little bit of delay. This is a bigger one. And this is some enhancement overtones. And then I just have the usual, the politeness pedal.
How long does it take you to get, how long did it take you to get comfortable with the pedals? Because it seems to a non-musician that that's a whole nother instrument or a whole nother sort of application.
That's absolutely the best way to describe it, and that's the way I describe it to my students as well. Everything you add to the sound changes the touch of the instrument and changes the timbre and changes the response, really. And so there's you actually have to physically play differently depending on what the sonic setup that you might be running from the electric guitar is. So I think that's a really interesting and fun challenge. And every time you get a new piece of gear, you kind of have to learn it a little bit, like you would learn how to ride a new bike or drive a new car or cook with a different spice. It's the same basic idea, but there's some variance in the technique.
You say these are delays, so does that mean that you have to play differently because the music is slightly delayed from when your pick might hit the string to when it hits our ears?
Well, in a way, you still hear the original sound, but in effect, the guitarist's dilemma is often how to make a note longer. We are very jealous of violin players and saxophone players and anybody who can just go bah for a long time. And if I hit a note, even with a little vibrato, it kind of has a relatively short shelf life. So that's where the delays come in. It gives the note somewhere else to go. And if I add a longer one, then we have a really long note. And that's really great for something that's sustained. It makes that, we hear it for a lot longer. But the trade-off is, if you play something that's fast, it's not clean anymore. We lose the clarity of it. So that's the, some guitarists in rock bands like U2 or Rage Against the Machine or Muse make great use of this because it makes the instrument sound bigger, like more than one.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Edge.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So exactly right. So how do you as an artist find that middle ground?
I think that for me personally, the philosophy I've carried toward this is really in the name of what it is. The effects are in effect, and they're not the music. And there are, I will certainly admit, there are musicians and styles out there where the effects may be the music. like, say, trance music, or even some music that falls maybe into the EDM or dance category. There are effects that really are fundamental to the music. But for me personally, using this in a classical or a jazz setting, it's sort of an enhancement of what the instrument is rather than the music itself. But it has been interesting. You know, I've worked with composers that who, even if they're not guitar players, they're quite familiar with what the enhancement of the guitar can do. So they kind of write for that, which is fun.
Tell me a little bit about Well-Lit Shadow.
Well, this project was several years sort of in the making, and I sort of stumbled upon two ideas at the same time. One was writing programmatic music that sort of was directly related to images or stories or something that you could verbalize versus music for music's sake. And I got into that, and I got into writing for solo guitar at that same time, and so it seemed natural for me to put those two things together. And to decide on the subject matter, I kind of reached back. You know, when I was young, my father is a scientist, and he worked on in his life with a lot of particle accelerators. I should say continues to work with a lot of particle accelerators in his life. And he used to have these pictures up in his office, and colleagues of his down the physics corridor at the University of Illinois would have similar images up on the walls and their doors. And I always kind of loved those, and I didn't really understand them, but I thought they were neat. And as I learned a little bit about them, they sort of really struck me as this deep modern art. I mean, it's Jackson Pollock-esque in its use of color and shapes and texture, but also there's a very quantifiable mathematical meaning to these images, and they represent data that's collected, and which has pretty profound implications in terms of what something is made of or how two things interact, or you know, these sort of Socratic questions about the universe that we've always been asking, and now we can sort of answer some of them with these giant machines. So that whole thing to me was still blows my hair back a little bit. And so I wanted to write some music about that, and I was thinking about how lonely that must be. It's lonely to be the only one in the world that knows something. It's lonely to be a particle inside of a machine. And just the whole concept of something so tiny that we can't even see it up until, we can't even measure it until the last, you know, however many decades that we've been able to do this. And so that lent itself to maybe this should be solo guitar music. Maybe this is one instrument kind of situation.
You talk about particles, small things that can't be seen with the naked eye that when working together create something. It sounds a little like musical notes.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of similarities there in terms of, you know, the building blocks of a song, the building blocks of a chord. And then down to its very nature, you know, music is nothing but vibrations, and there's a very quantifiable, measurable science of vibrations, and why we like the sound of this. And for several centuries, the sound of that was unpleasant to people, and you know, so... you know, the ancient Greeks knew all about this. They had their mathematical proportions to different things, and how we sort of transitioned from the pure mathematics to what we've been using, equal temperament, at least on this half of the world, is in and of itself a pretty interesting story. But there's such a deep connection between the math and science of music and the production of music, the art itself. I'll share with you one of the pieces off of Well-Lit Shadow, and this one is very literal. This is called What We Found, and it's meant to literally represent the particles that go around and around in a ring slam into each other, and then what we measure is the fallout, shall we say.
The Honors College Concert, March 30th, 6 p.m. Have you been in that room yet?
Yes, just once.
Did you get to play in there?
No, we have. I think we'll check levels like, an hour before the gig.
How long does it take you to go into an unfamiliar setting and figure out, or does it even matter, how the sounds work in that room?
Well, there's definitely rooms out in the universe that are more challenging than others to play. Because sometimes with electric music, if you're playing loud electric music in a room that was built, say, for a string quartet, you almost run into a problem of too much ambience in the room, and it can be difficult to discern a ding, 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 ding from one side of the stage to another. So we've definitely experienced that once or twice, But I think for the most part, playing in an acoustic room encourages the band to play like that. And playing a big hall where you can rely on amplification, your audio sources will be kind of different. So I think that there's always challenges in every place you play.
Do you mind playing one more?
Not at all.
What will this be?
What would you rather hear, a solo solo guitar piece or jazz standard?
Oh, see, now you've put the pressure on me, and the listeners are, half the listeners will be upset with whatever I say. So now I'm going to cheat. I'm going to say I'd like to hear, for our Friday show, the solo jazz, and then the jazz standard, if I can be so bold, for the Sunday morning show.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. So I'll play you a tamer piece off of Well-Lit Shadow. This is called Trace of You. And the inspiration of this one was thinking about what must it be like in these particle accelerators when they're turned off? They're just sitting there covering miles and miles underneath the ground. And sometimes they keep a little bit of energy going on in there, but there might not be any collisions happening. And so so in my mind, that just kind of makes me wonder about what sort of ethereal ghosts are going to be walking around in there.
Downtime at the Fermi Lab.
Exactly.
Jake Herzog is a member of the University of Arkansas Music Faculty, and he'll perform with his trio Thursday, March 30th at 6 p.m. in the Honors College Lounge in Gearhart Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. You can find out more about that concert by going to honorscollege.uark.edu. And you can find out more about Jake at jakeherzog.com. And Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on Weekend Ozarks at Large on KUAF, we'll hear another tune he performed during his visit last night in the Furman Garner Performance Studio.